Well, you can teach a baby how to drink water, but you can't make a horse teach a baby how to, you know the saying. Guys, Adam Ray here. Welcome back to the show. About Last Night podcast is the name. If you haven't subscribed, do so right here to get all the clips, episodes, goodies, and love that the podcast is bringing to the table. Well, we've got a special announcement. I'm doing my comedy special at Madison, Wisconsin's own Comedy on State, September 22nd and the 23rd. Come out and get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com or ComedyOnState.com. That's two nights, four shows, September 22nd and 23rd, Madison, Wisconsin, Comedy on State. It's going to be my special, and I can't wait to shoot it, and I can't wait for you guys to see it. This week I'm in L.A. doing shows. Come out and see me. Comedy Store, Improv, Laugh Factory. Next weekend, August 24th through the 26th at Zany's in Chicago, Illinois. August 24th through the 26th. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then we're going to St. Petersburg, Florida, Coastal Creative, Philly Punchline, and then the special. So it's creeping up. All that ticket information at AdamRayComedy.com. Of course, Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Follow your boy for clips and goodies and all that stuff. And I think that's it for now. Boy, today's episode is a banger. I can't wait for you guys to enjoy this one. The great Nikki Glaser is today's guest. You know her from F-Boy Island, season 1 and 2. You know her from her countless Netflix specials and Comedy Central specials and Conan appearances and Tonight Show appearances and her show, the Nikki Glaser podcast. You know her from You Up, her Sirius radio show, The Howard Stern Show. She's done it all. Everyone loves her because she's hilarious and super sweet and super funny. And a great girl and a great comic. And we ripped it up today, and I can't wait for you to enjoy it. So enjoy it. Follow Nikki at Nikki Glaser on all the socials. And I think that's it. All right. Yeah? I think that's it. Anything else? No? Fuck. All right. Enjoy the episode and have a great week. Peace.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Yeah, what is good for you?
No.
Have you you stopped taking inventory on, like, were you ever a person that was like, 42 carbohydrates, like 22 sugars?
I look at sugar.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, I was anorexic for many years, so that's right. The math doesn't, like, leave you.
That was my next question. How many years were you?
Any LA girl, any girl in LA that you interview, you could ask that. Now,
really?
How long did you almost die from your eating disorder, and how long have you been, like, making it work for you? Because everyone's hiding one in this fucking town.
I think so.
It's all, everyone, men, women, intermittent fasting, anorexia.
Oh, yeah. Intermittent fasting is almost like the gateway drug to anorexia.
Oh, I would have loved for that to be around back when I was starving myself.
For an excuse? Then,
yeah,
nobody would have touched you. Yeah, but you wouldn't be here probably.
That's true.
That's a trade-off.
Yeah. Well, I almost died from it. I almost was the best at it.
Let me.
I almost won.
What a funny way to look at it.
Yeah. I would have lost that extra, the 28 grams or whatever you lose when you die in your soul. I would have been like, yes!
Wait, what?
You know, like there's a movie. It's like 28 grams or whatever, and it's about like when you die, your soul weighs that much. Like it's
Holy
the weight of a soul.
Shit.
Yeah. So it was just a joke about me getting even thinner upon death.
Two follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Are you good at retaining facts like that, or are you just a sponge for like, or is your brain just set up in a way where you're like, it holds on to the stuff that interests me truly.
Yes, that.
Because the way that you just dropped that was like a fun, like.
But I don't think it's the right number, which is the perfect way to describe how I retain facts.
Gotcha.
Close enough, probably not the right number.
That's most people.
But I can't, if you explain football to me, which I've tried to understand.
Oh, wow.
So many times.
It's complex.
I cannot, it will not sink in.
It's okay.
It is, I'm trying to, I want to enjoy it because I feel like I'm missing out on this thing that so many people love. And dumb people, too, understand the game. And I feel like I'm. pretty intelligent, and I cannot grasp it. It makes me feel really, and people go, no, if you really tried, and I've said, I have tried. Yeah. I really have tried. It's too much, the downs, the numbers, the yards. Why not feet? And why, I just.
Just the fact that you're already speaking in somewhat football terminology, I'm really thinking you're not that far off.
No, and then the number of points per each thing, it's so different, and then the kick.
How many points
kick,
is it? How about this?
Don't do this. It's going to be embarrassing.
I was going to, there should be some sort of, I don't know. Well, how about this?
Okay.
How many points do you think a field goal is? Do you know what a field goal is?
Yes, that's when they kick.
You're fine.
Okay. I think it can be two or one or something like that.
Do
no?
you even?
Four or two?
Close.
Four.
No.
Three.
Got it.
Yeah, I was dancing around it.
You were dancing around it. You're in
I
field
said
goal
two
territory.
Or four.
You, it
that's
took
three.
You as many tries, as many points as a field goal is. And that's a cool thing to be a part of.
So
wait,
dumb.
Now, does your boyfriend, is he a big sports guy?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he loves it.
Okay, so does he want you to be, because my wife has now gotten so into baseball that she didn't understand it. It is like football, very complex as far as, but as a guy, we're just
though.
Like, how do you not get it's that a, when there's a guy on third, you can whatever? And then when I started explaining it to her, I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of fucking stuff to
you
remember.
You guys absorb it because it's also like a language. You guys learn this language when you have impressionable minds that are being ruined from the sport itself.
Yeah.
You're slamming into things and getting CTE at the age of seven. So,
so funny.
You're absorbing it, but you're also, so it's like, you know, when you try to learn a language, you're like, how's this kid picking it up? But I think that's it. You guys, it's a part of your culture.
Yeah.
As a man earlier than ours, and so to learn it late is just like learning another language late. It's just not absorbing.
So can you watch a game and be...
No.
Okay.
Because first of all, they
socially.
All are dressed the same. So I can't tell where the ball is, and they're holding the ball like this, so I can't...
Yeah.
When people are able to follow where the ball goes, it blows my mind. It really... I just marvel at people understanding what's happening.
Okay, so do you look at men...
And it stops all the time, and then there's like... Then the clock will sometimes keep going after the game is stopped, but sometimes the timer stops when everyone stops, and that bothers me because it seems inconsistent.
Oh, man.
There's a lot going on.
So you can't even go to a Super Bowl party and like...
No, I like that.
So for the social aspect...
And I'm not someone who's like, I don't get it. This is
dumb. No, you're not, and
sports
I love that.
Stupid because I want to be
totally.
In it. I want to get it because these people I love aren't stupid. They're loving it and they get so much joy.
So much joy. But why would you want to shit on the people like Greg Giraldo used to have this great joke about like people like in Cleveland that would like they're all so much about like the Browns and which is their football team and like they paint themselves purple and orange just to forget the fact that they fucking live in Cleveland. It was this whole thing about they get so into that because they're putting all their eggs in this basket of like all I have is this.
Yeah, it's
so,
beautiful.
Yeah.
And as a Swiftie, I can understand this. Like as someone who's obsessed
football.
With this thing that other people don't really understand and I really can't articulate it to them without
them. Oh, they're
them.
Starting to.
Oh, they're all on board.
Oh, they're all on board.
Do
and
you know
I
how
give...
many I get it texts I've gotten from this six shows she's done in LA?
Tell
people
me.
Going, I've gotten probably four or five people going, I get it. And it's so validating because, and I'm not someone who's like, oh, late to the game. I'm like, yes, join us.
Yeah.
This is a great place to be, is having your emotions understood and articulated and watching this person who's so insanely talented. But what I was going to say about Cleveland Browns is, this is what I've asked my boyfriend before. Why are they fans if they've never even gotten close to a Super Bowl ever? Why do they continue to come out every year like that? That I think it's great and I think it's so sweet, but I would think that if they've never even gotten close, why would you continue to dream?
Yeah. Like if you're having sex, let's say you're a man in your late 60s and you're going to the same whorehouse every Sunday and you can't make anyone come.
Oh my gosh.
Shouldn't you? Okay, there's a better example.
That's not the, maybe that's his goal is to make women come at the whorehouse?
Yeah.
Because I thought it was just to him to come.
Yeah, no, maybe he's okay, just so like, he's... and so maybe he's like, wow, maybe it's me. Maybe I got, or maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe I need to move.
Yeah.
And move, cut off my fandom for this whorehouse.
Root for another whorehouse.
Root for another whorehouse. I think you're asking a question I think sports fans and men especially have been trying to figure out for years, which is, how do you explain fandom? You're just like, I think it's one of those things, it's almost like people that were so deep in with Trump. They're just like, I can't admit that anything is, do you get it?
No, this is ridiculous. I had it on. I've never once had it on in my life.
No, it's fine.
Whenever I lose my phone, people are like, let me call it. I go, what am I, your great aunt? Why would I have my phone on a sound? It's not going to make a sound because I'm a polite person until right now.
I have no problem with that. You're a mover and shaker. The business is 24/7.
It's never made a sound in months. It just got clicked on somehow.
What's your ringtone?
I don't have one. Yeah. I don't even have vibrate. It's totally silent. So when I lose my phone, I lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But get back to the
fandom.
Sounds
like a great bit that you would have done like 2 years into stand-up. When I lose my phone, girls, I lose it.
I
never
wouldn't
just
have done
lose
that.
Your phone, but lose your
I
phone.
I wouldn't have done that. That is okay.
No, you wouldn't have.
No, well, only because that is someone who has so much confidence in having no act. And I have gotten there now. Yeah. I can have tons of confidence now in a bit that is worthless.
Yeah.
Because I've been around long enough to like feel like, oh, I've got this. And so I can have that
Isn't
now.
Isn't that something?
But people who, when I first went on stage, everything I said had to be a punchline because I knew I was shit.
Wow.
I was not messing around with like, you know what I'm saying? Like loose premises. It better have a fucking ending to it. And not that it would always go well, but at least it has like,
wow.
This is where we're going.
Good for you.
Again, it's like fandom. Like if you've never won before, what are you? Are they holding out for like they think it'll happen? Because
yes, that's exactly what.
And has it happened for other teams where they've never even been close to the Super Bowl and then suddenly they're there? Is that the Chiefs? Is that what happened to the Chiefs?
They've been good for a while, but they've had down moments, right?
The Bengals, great example. They were great for
and now they're,
since the early 90s, maybe.
Yep, and now they're having a moment.
Yeah, okay.
I'll give you an example. My Seattle Mariners, the baseball team, were currently holding the longest playoff drought in sports history, 21 years. Mm. So we hadn't been in the playoffs in 21 years. So every year that we had a good team, there was all this hype in the city, like, this is the year that the drought ends. We go to the playoffs.
That's fun.
And it finally happened, and it happened on a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth, and I was in Atlanta in my hotel room, and...
You just spoke Mandarin. A walk-off. Wait, hold on. Let me just slow down. A walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth?
Yeah. So bottom
Got
of the ninth
Got
is
it.
The
I'm caught up, but yeah. You said it fast, and Sorry. So it's like a little bit like speaking another language where I have to go, hold on, je suis. Okay,
you
you're using the past participle.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay,
wow.
I'm there.
So, and I got very emotional. Mm-hmm. Like,
aww,
yeah. Very.
That's so Because awesome.
I love, because I'm so connected to, and now especially just from having connections, players on the team, all the broadcasters came to all my shows in Atlanta because the team. I schedule a lot of my dates around the games.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's
but
so
it's,
cool to care about something that
yeah.
much. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And that's what I have in Taylor Swift. But my boyfriend is now super into F1. And that is the one
Whoa.
Where I go, I think I can maybe get into this. I'm
yeah.
a little, I'm always scared. I've been assured that if we're in the stands, they won't fly up and fall into us.
The cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that I won't witness
anyone
dying.
You don't
want
to take a tire
dying.
To the face. Oh, man, yeah.
I don't want to witness a death.
Fuck, that's one thing you don't get in the other sports.
Yeah, eventual.
I mean, eventual, yeah.
Yeah, but you're seeing a, yeah, you
oh,
don't.
Oh, a car flip? Although, you've seen car accidents, but.
I don't seek them out.
Yeah, you
I don't
want, thank
air
God.
Shows are my scariest thing ever. My parents used to always bring me to air shows as kids. I don't know why, as a kid.
Is
but,
that a St. Louis thing?
I don't know. They're just like, they would just happen. My dad liked them, and I just hate seeing fighter jets, like, they're this close in the air going through 200, 300 miles an hour. And then they like just the slightest thing, and it's like huge. You watch someone die, and you watch all their family watch
it's
them
inevitable.
Die. It's
oh yeah, you're basically going to a live funeral.
I would have anxiety attacks there. I didn't even know what they were as a kid, but I just hated that. But F1, I've been assured it's just fun, and that I've tried to understand it. I go, why do you like this? What is it? And it's the precision. And he's also, I think,
it's just start and finish too, right?
Yeah, and
but
I think
also,
he thinks he could do it. I think there's something about like
yeah, of course
I like
does.
Taylor Swift because she's in my
yeah
she's re- like
vocally performance, showmanship
looks wise
yeah
she's an inch taller than me.
There's a version of one of these next tours where she's like, oof, I sprained my ankle.
I could step in for a couple. I'm not. It's not going to be good.
I'm not saying the whole show. I'm saying two tunes.
People would notice. There's been a change, but they
also be pretty pumped. They'd be like, "Whoa!"
That's my dream. I just want
to for her to write a song where you actually play her in the music video, and then the music video goes viral. So then she brings you on stage.
I'm not joking. I keep having my friend ask me sometimes. She goes when we're like manifesting or talking about that kind of stuff. If you could get a call right now, what would the call? I want you to answer this.
Fun.
If you could get a call right now that is offering you your dream, it could be anything.
Wow.
What's that call? And within reason, let's talk, like, dream big, but it can't be go to space or something, you know. Or maybe.
No,
regular
I'm good
people
on space.
Yeah, you don't need
I'm
to
good on that. Space. I'm good on Titanic. How high and low do you got to go?
I'm good on Titanic. I know.
I just am like, the movie wasn't good enough. What
oh,
the fuck are
yeah.
you going to? Like,
yeah.
I also just don't. Look, I want to do a safari in Africa. That
yes.
feels very cool.
Before
That's
it's
about
gone.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, those fuck. Animals are
See,
dying.
I was trying to absorb people being like, we're running out of water. So I'm already grasping that.
Yes.
But we're running out of animals, too, I guess,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, we're running.
Fuck,
it's all going away.
We'll be right back. it's all going away.
It is.
Fuck, I know.
Maui's on fire right now. Did you see, like, a cell phone tower went down and no one has service in Maui? They can't call 911. Maui, people are on vacation. It's getting the rich now.
Now, what has to go down? And then I want to come back to this
dream
question.
And then I want
to
get back to your call. Yeah.
What sort of place would, like, if Disneyland, let's say, what if something,
yeah.
like, what's the place that would truly make... I guess I'm speaking in terms of, like, you can't get worse than 9/11 as far as a thing that happened probably in this country of the last 20, 30 years.
A Taylor Swift concert.
Wow. Where something happened where everyone was just like, oh, the end is near. I'm moving to fucking Canada or like.
It's almost like when the Hanks got COVID. Remember when everyone was kind of like, COVID, what? And then Tom Hanks got it and we were all like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, my mom
Well, if Tom Hanks
out,
got it.
Yeah. Then it's real.
Then it's real. So
it's
what's
almost
that?
Like it's almost like, I'm almost wondering how much. Fucking Fauci paid Hanks to be like, please, hello, Thomas. Please, just go on. Just tell them it's bad. But you're fine, but it's bad.
You're
fine.
A good enough actor. We know you can nail this. Here are the symptoms.
Look, I've seen Saving Mr. Banks, the film where you played Mr. Disney.
Make sure Rita gets some...
Residual... Yeah,
yes.
Make sure everyone
coaching.
Knows... Coaching. You're in different... You're in different rooms. Don't bring Chet into it. We're fine without Chet. Yeah, that's
so
all right. So my
your dream call, bring a ring. What is it?
Man, it's well. I want my own show, and yeah. whether that's my own like curb show or my own sketch show, it's my own. Here's a bunch of money to not just get money for doing the show, but my dream is the Sandler model.
Yeah.
I want to have, you know, creative control, but collaborative creative control. And I want to be able to, I feel like I just know so many funny people that, you know, have gotten shots or haven't gotten shots.
Yes.
I just want the ability to be able to, like, to have...
Put your friends in
the
shit.
The billions of things I've written and whatever, and to be like, and to just, the way Sandler did with Swartzen and go like, oh, what's this movie idea? Yeah, let's make that.
Yes.
Rob Schneider. Oh, there's a funny movie in the Deuce Bigelow thing that you pitched me. Write that and we'll make that.
Yes.
Like that, I want that.
I think that's...
So if that's the call, I don't know who's making that call. I guess...
Just someone financing
I guess somebody with a bunch of money being like, yeah. Because
yeah,
money also talks. Because I feel like, you know, we're both have gotten to
You're
a cool
ready
point
for that.
To where
have
we
you...
know people, to where I could be like, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull this person in. But
yes.
money still talks. So it's like relationship matters. Like getting Burr to do my little Dr. Phil thing at the store
that
was awesome.
That was so cool.
That was cool, yeah.
He was on there for so long.
Oh, yeah. And he loved it. And he wants to do it again.
He was like, I watched the beginning
clips,
and then I
yeah.
was zip doing it just to see his
oh,
mood
cool.
throughout.
Yeah.
To like how annoyed he is he that he has to do
no.
that? Because you see people get roped into these things.
Of course.
And he was having a ball.
Yeah, I made him laugh
so
a
cool.
lot.
So cool.
Yeah.
yeah.
But he was all about it too. And I think it was a different thing too. It mm-hmm. wasn't, and he kept telling me, he was like, you got to go hard on me next time, like really berate me for having
Fun.
Rage. And it got a little podcasty for me, but also I was like, no, I want to, my Dr. Phil character is a little lighter too. I don't want to just be like, you have fucking problems and nobody likes you. I didn't want to do that because
yeah.
I didn't want it to, you know, I don't know, but
but
so
did, it get,
that.
Did it get like did he get talking what did it get podcasty in the sense of like talking about real shit? Is that
yes,
what you meant by that?
I guess yeah, what I meant by that
oh,
is
I
guess
that.
I'd ask him like, you know, did you stop drinking because you were an angry drunk? And then he was like, no, I stopped drinking this much. And then I was like, you seem like a fun guy. Did you karaoke? And then, so then that went into a thing where
a
we
bit.
Talked about songs that he would karaoke to. And then we talked about, and then I talked about country. And then we started making up our own country song. And then that went into somehow bestiality. And so we had a whole thing about, I said, who was the first? I go, what's the main animal you think people fuck the most? And I'll go first. I'll think it. And then I go, actually, let's say at the same time. We said horse. And then I go, man, imagine telling your wife that you fucked a horse and you have to leave your family. I go, you know, let's do a little improv. And so we did it was about a 10-minute scene where he's playing. And then I go, and then he goes, do you want to be the guy that fucked the horse or should I be the guy? I go, you can be him. I'll be the wife, you know. And then we did this
oh,
whole.
Oh, my God.
So that came out of like.
Yeah.
So I like that versus just playing the game of like. You need to get it together the whole time. Do you know what I'm saying? Because
right.
it was almost an hour. So nobody wants an hour of just, Bill, you're angry, you know?
Right.
But
I also
want
those moments.
Yes.
That's what I crave. Like,
yeah.
I love bits of Palooza where people are just bit.
Yes.
It's fun to watch. But for me, who's interested in like the psyche behind my genius idols.
Yes.
I wanna hear the dark stuff. I wanna hear totally. Their struggles because I want to feel like, oh, maybe I'm a genius. Like maybe I could be him if like yeah, I'm always looking for relatable things for the people that I idolize or things that make them seem less so in my mind so I don't put them up on this pedestal.
Wow.
So I love Man, when Burr first went on Conan, I think it was during COVID, and he did an interview about having done mushrooms and how it changed him and made him look at his anger and all the things that we've heard him talk about. And he did that; he talked about it on the Red Rock special. But it was the first time I had ever seen him get like that and wasn't just going for the punchline, especially with Conan. You go on there, but he's sitting at Largo, you know, during COVID. It was more relaxed.
Yes.
Cardboard.
Yes. No
audience members.
Yeah.
And he just like. Maybe it was before. Maybe there was an audience, but he just sat back and was like, I'm an angry guy and I don't want to be anymore. And, I'm very insecure. Like he was saying all this stuff and it was just sitting there. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
I loved it so much. I said it to so many people because I'm like,
wow.
He's a real person and he's realizing where this anger comes from. And it's going to be so cool to see this evolution. And it has been to see him discover that.
So you like to meet your heroes.
In some ways, but in other ways.
Have you had cases where you're like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's just been times where I'm trying to think of when that really bums me out. I think it's when I kind of shit the bed when I meet them that I'm so filled with embarrassment over how I behaved that listening to their music again or listening to their comedy again reminds me of how embarrassing I was. And so I can't do it any longer.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I first met Dave Matthews, who is like, he was my first, I really think my first love. Like,
wow. At what age?
High school, 10th grade. I think like when I was a late bloomer, so I think I started going through the change then. And it was the first like man I had ever been attracted to. Like I had been like, boys are cute, but he was like a man. And
JTT wasn't a man.
He made
Freddie
things happen.
Freddie Prinze was a boy.
Yes. Yeah. JTT was my first one.
Was he?
Yeah. And then it was like, then I remember JFK Jr. kind of slipped in there when he died. It was the first time I'd ever heard of him. I was just like, I heard about him on Seinfeld, but they didn't show him, right?
Yeah.
Elaine swooning over him. But then when he died, I see his picture everywhere. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, I was so horned up. I stole my mom's Time Magazine commemorative, like JFK Jr. RIP. And I hung up pictures of this dead guy. It started this like thing for me of like being after unavailable men, like deeply unavailable dead men.
Yeah, dead available.
But he was the first one that I was like, that's amazing. He has hair on his chest. I was like, I'm a woman. And then Dave Matthews. And I didn't understand what horniness was. I just thought
a
I was like.
Great thing to say.
You know, I didn't understand. I was like dying to get dick down by Dave Matthews and my body was screaming for it and that's all I could but I didn't know that that's what I wanted.
Sure.
I never even touched myself. I wasn't aware of anything like that. So I would just be rocking back and forth on my heel watching Storytellers on VH1 sweating, just like rewinding it and watching him describe the inspiration for Crush, which is the horniest song ever. And my dad would walk in and be like, time for and I'd be like, I'll be right in, Dad, you know, just like and my parents knew what was going on. I didn't though. And so he was my first love.
Yeah.
And so I got a chance to meet him when I was working at Sirius and did
my
own
show.
Yeah,
you do all the on your show, but then you also very, I was about to say coolly, very.
Yeah, I like that word.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
Very rad that you got to. What is the fucking word I'm looking for?
I don't know, but I can't help you. We're just as dumb because there's not another word.
Very.
Full circle-y.
Yeah, I guess, but I'm looking to like.
I know there's
to say
an actual
cool,
word,
but then there's like an adjective
very coolie.
For it. Oh God,
coolie's the word.
If you're gonna say coolie, you better segue into coolie and then fucking cut it out.
I forgot
and
that that's
quit
a slur.
The bit. What?
I think coolie's a slur.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But say coolie. Dave.
Oh,
coolie.
Dave Coulier. Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
Coolie's a slur.
Yeah, I think it's a slur.
God, is everything?
Google it.
Google famous slurs. Google top podcast slurs. All right, so
very, yeah, I'm the voice of Dave Matthews Band Radio,
which is awesome.
Sirius XM.
But you met him because your show was on
Labor Dave weekend. Tim Reynolds and Dave Matthews in Cabo, New Mexico, all weekend long.
Yep, it got me fired up for it.
Yeah, that's
you know
Dave
what's
Matthews
so cool
Band
too.
Voice.
You have so many skill sets, and when I heard you doing that, I was like, oh, throw VO in the mix. Never. It's so funny. Your voice always has been easy listening to.
Oh, that's nice.
But when you put it in a thing that's attached to like actually in the world of VO,
it's hard.
Yeah, but it
you know.
it was a perfect transition.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember trying to figure out what that voice was because I think I was being coached on it at the time. I had never done voiceover or I'd done it and done it poorly before, not coolly, and before, and they were telling me to be like, "Hey, it's Dave Matthews Band Radio." Like, I'm almost broadcasting from the, you know, from the parking lot.
You guys,
man,
ever camp out at, in Rochester '94? Yeah, wanna try a brownie?
But then I just ended up doing just leaning into like Dave Matthews Band Radio. Yeah. Like, you don't realize how ridiculous people sound if people talked that way in normal life.
Oh yeah,
how stupid they'd sound. But on radio, it sounds fucking great.
Yeah.
So
okay,
I got
so
to
meet.
I met him. There's a listening party. So I don't like to meet people I idolize until they want to meet me. That's my new rule. No longer am I going to finagle my way in to go up and I'm a big fan. I need them to meet me, which has always been my goal. Because I was in high school, I was obsessed with Dave Matthews, and I realized I want to marry him. I think that can happen until he got married in, like, I think August of 2000, when my dreams came crashing down that day.
I don't remember the exact date or the time or what he was wearing.
August 2000. Yeah. But when he got, I always thought, you know, I need to get around him and I need him to respect me. I don't want to be like a fan who wins a backstage pass. That's not how he's going to fall
That's
in
one
love
of many.
With me.
Yeah.
I need to get in his sphere. I remember saying that to my friend, because my friend Hala, she used to just be like, you think you're going to meet him? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be famous and I'm going to meet him because famous people meet each other. I just knew that, but I didn't know how I was going to get famous. I had no fucking clue.
Wow.
But I remember that was why I had to get famous, was because I had to prove my friend who thought I was ridiculous for thinking I would meet him someday. And I was like,
here's your Hala cam if you want to tell her, hey.
Well, Hala knows because I brought Hala to meet Dave Matthews with me the second time I got to meet
him.
Shut
the fuck
so
up.
So I flew her to New York with me this past June to go to a private concert to watch her watch me go up to him and hug him. And it full circle, baby.
Let's go.
Yeah, it was awesome. She was so proud, and she's like embarrassed that she ever like squashed my dream at first.
I mean, you know,
but
what age is that where you're being a dick friend?
She was just like, but that's what everyone wants to be famous now, I have to say. Like, I think that's not it's a pretty normal, like, there are 4-year-olds that are like, I want to be famous, and you just, because that's all they want to be on YouTube or whatever. But when we were young, being famous, not everyone had that passion, I don't think. Do you remember with your, I'm guessing you wanted to.
Yeah.
You wanted to be on TV, whatever that meant.
Yeah. I mean, I want to be yes.
I was going to say baseball player.
Basketball player and then baseball broadcaster.
Oh.
But still being on TV, I wanted to.
Yeah, you wanted to be in the spotlight.
Yeah, and then when I started doing plays, when I did The Cowardly Lion in the sixth grade.
Oh.
And I fucking murdered it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what is this feeling?
Oh, the attention you get and someone being like, you are really good. Like, you see other kids get compliments, but someone's like kind of like grabbing you by the shoulders like, do this.
Also, I was and I think I'm starting to figure out, you know, sans therapy. I still, you know, have not fully. I went to a few therapy things when my folks split and I still have not. And I feel like I want to pick your brain about that at some point, whether it's on or off air.
No, we should talk on air because I have a good follow-up.
And
to
went a couple times to this place called The Parent Place. Shout out. And actually, take that shout out back. They fucking suck. The guy was just too in my face. And it was too weird. My mom was like, I think this is the move. Go there. Talk to this guy. And he was like, so how come your dad cheats? Or I'm paraphrasing. I forget what he said. But I was just like, who the fuck are you? And even at 9, I was like, this is not the time.
Earn my trust. Have you seen Good Will Hunting?
Thank
you. Hang out with me a little bit. Let's talk about things we both like.
Yeah.
Then
find
you
a
tell
common
me it's not
bond.
My fault. That's just a bad therapist, which is, it's like dating. That's what therapy is like.
You have to find
you
the one
you come
that's
across really shitty ones.
Yeah, maybe
a lot
he was.
Of, yeah,
also,
of
being
course.
A child therapist doesn't strike me as the best job. I feel like NBA ref is the second worst job to that. Because, like, I walked in, like, I wanted no part of what he had to offer.
Oh.
I also wanted no part of, like, talking about it. I was just, like, trying to be happy-go-lucky and I'd be like, cool, too out. Like, just try to mask
to
and push it
child
down.
Child is, like, you don't want to, you have no grasp of how this could ever even be beneficial.
Yeah.
And as an adult, you know the reason.
Right.
It's the right thing to do, even though it's hard.
Right.
But as a child, it's both hard and stupid.
And I remember I was a big kid and this guy was big. And I remember he at one point was like, it seems like your weight problems probably come from the eating too much because you're trying to fill a void for your dad not being there. That was like day two. And I was like,
Look, man,
do I dip Pop-Tarts and Cool Whip? Yeah. That's not my fault. That's Pop-Tart's fault
because
for being tasty.
No. It tastes good.
Yeah.
You can't connect it to emotions. What the fuck?
But it was also just like fat shaming in day two.
Oh.
So my point is, as the Cowardly Lion, I think, and I've started to kind of pinpoint some of this, of the, you know, getting teased. And then when I would do stuff like that, I was like, oh, they don't see me as like the fat kid or whatever. I'm getting attention, but it's because of like, oh, you were so good at doing this thing. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to ride that because that's somehow, and that's innately what drew me to making my friends laugh more, which I was just doing just because it felt good. But then when it was like, you're the funny kid and not the fat kid, then I was
turn
like,
turn that knob
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's a, you're precisely
I dialed in on
saying,
that like 2 years ago.
That's exactly what happens. It happened for me too. I went to college. I was anorexic. I had no friends because I looked too thin. I looked like it was the opposite. Like I think if I would have been too fat, I would have done the same thing. Don't look at this. Look over here. Yeah. Look how funny I am. Yeah. And then I had friends go to my, like people were always worried about me in college because I was so thin. And so people would see me and go up to my friends and go, we're worried about Nikki. And they would go, we forgot she was even fucking terrifying to look at because she's so funny.
Whoa.
And so fun. So it worked.
So you were funny anorexic, huh?
Yeah, but I had funny friends before that. I've always loved comedy and like absorbed it, but I didn't know what to do with it. I wasn't like the class clown. I was quiet. I didn't want to ever to be made fun of. I felt ugly. I felt like less than. Mm. But when I got to college, it was the only thing that I was getting any kind of positive reinforcement for. And then it saved me. I was like, when I did stand-up comedy, I was like, okay, I don't want to die of this fucking anorexia shit. So I got to figure that out so I can keep doing comedy. But before then, I was like, I'm just going to die of this thing because I don't know what to do. But it totally is that. When comedians say that they – I think there are some comedians that are just born funny and grow up around it and absorb it. But I really think that it comes from a place of feeling – inferior and then trying to mask that with humor. It has to be. So I don't really believe.
And the best ones get that, I think. Yes. Robin Williams, too. I mean, just felt like he, you know, needed to do that to be, you know, liked and then, you know, just was the best at it.
Yes. But we all, when I see comedians that think they're the best, I just am like, maybe you'll get there someday, but I know you haven't done the work on yourself to actually get there. This is an illusion, and you're lying to people thinking that you think you're the best. You're actually very insecure, and that's what makes you great. So don't try to hide that part of yourself. Yeah. Like, admit you're insecure, and that's where this comes from. It's still fine. You're still funny.
Yeah. Do you think it's bad if a comedian gets to a place where their life rules? Because, like...
Yeah, I think it's probably bad for comedy.
Yeah, you always want to have a couple things.
You're probably a millionaire by then, so stop. Like, stop. You don't need more money.
Yeah,
you can go do other things like finance funny stuff because you probably have a really great palette at that point for what is funny. So maybe you're not able to be funny anymore because you're so happy.
Yeah.
So I think there is something to that when people are like, I don't want to get fixed because I won't be funny anymore. Don't worry, Adam. You have so much work. You will not reach that place. Yeah. I haven't seen anyone actually reach that place where they're so not funny.
I want to get back to your dream, the question of what that call would be for you. But you would mention, too,
I
like
want
your,
yours, too.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you already told
yours. Yeah,
yeah. And that is, I just want to say, totally, you're ready for it. Do you think you would have wanted that dream 10 years ago? Because I think some people want their dreams too early, and you're like,
that's normal.
But are you ready to cash in on that? If someone called you, would you be ready to do that? You are 100% ready for that.
Yeah.
But my dreams, I think that's the mark of someone who's a sane person and who is, I think you have to dream big, but don't say yes to things you're not ready for. Sometimes you have to. What are you going to turn down?
Yeah.
Matt Rife, for example, people are like, he hasn't been doing comedy enough to like do all these things.
Do your research.
Yeah, but what's he supposed to turn down? A world tour? Would you turn it down, people who are judging him?
I know. Great question.
So it's like, shut up. People are offering him these things. Let him do it. And he also, not that most people seem to be like in favor of Matt Rife because he's such a nice person.
Yeah.
And as someone who is also known as a nice person, I know when I get successful, people go, you deserve it. Like people go, and it's like, because I'm talented or because I was nice to you before? Like I think that people like when nice people get things more than shitty people, which makes sense.
Yes.
But it steals some of your like talent away when they go, you deserve it because you work hard. And you go,
fuck, I know.
But then there are other people like I think Theo, who is so naturally funny seemingly, and it seems like he doesn't work for it, that when thank you, Theo. Yeah. People tell him, God, you're just so naturally funny. And I think people like him, I don't mean to speak for him, get mad when people don't acknowledge how hard he's worked for
totally.
So you can't really win. You want both the credit for working hard and the credit for being a natural, which really we're all kind of a mixture of that.
Wow.
But I'm more, I relate to Taylor Swift. I've never been a natural. All I do is try, try, try.
Is that one of her songs?
I've never been a natural. All I do is try, try, try. I'm still on that tightrope. I'm still trying everything to keep you laughing at me. She says laughing. She's like, I'm still a believer, but I don't know why. It's like, it's all about, it's called Mirrorball, and it's all about how she is desperately insecure, and everything she does is to get people to like her, and to not, to like, don't be fooled by her looking confident. She's not. She's trying all the time. This isn't
wow,
a natural.
Wow, she's singing a show in front of 90,000 people.
But
for...
because she's tried. She works harder than anyone, so yeah. She has worked hard. She did get shit on the Grammys when she sang really early on in her career. She was a little off key, probably because her in-ears weren't working the right way. She got fucking panned by one reviewer, which it's like the Michael Jordan thing of his high school coach, like spurred him to have the career he has. So she got one bad review. She wrote a song called Mean, which then she performed at the Grammys the next year about that reviewer saying, oh, look who can sing now. And they said she couldn't sing. And she's one of the best singers now ever
really
because
is.
She's trained. She went and trained so long to be a good singer, which is another thing that I love because I love singing. And I always felt like you either have it or you don't. And like same with comedy, people go, you're born with it or you don't.
Yeah.
What a stupid thing to say because it makes so many kids give up so early because I know I would be a professional singer right now if someone in high school didn't tell me you just don't have it. Because guess what? I didn't have it for Broadway singing at the time, but I guarantee you I could have been on Broadway if I had the right training.
Fuck yeah.
I had a teacher who was lazy, a mom who didn't want to drive me to practice, and who was eager to hear this teacher tell her your daughter doesn't have what it takes.
Wow.
Vocally. But the truth is, I 100% do because I'm in vocal training now and I've seen the progression. I'm never going to be what I wanted to be. That boat has sailed. But I think ship is the term that most people use.
No, I like boat. Let's go boat. Let's get boat. As you said it, I was like, we're ending the podcast early. She's making up catchphrases. No, but boat is what it is.
I could have picked that could have been done coolier. Coolier. But yeah, it's just talent is not something you're necessarily born with. Some people are, but Beyonce did not become Beyonce out of the womb. She wasn't singing and dancing. That woman sacrificed her childhood to sing and dance and learn 10,000 hours.
God doesn't just give out like, all right, every year I'm giving 10 superstar people skill sets. I'm handing these. No, it's like, yeah, you're maybe born with a zest for it because you grew up in that environment.
Yeah,
but
you have
like,
a knack. You're born with a knack, which is fine.
Jim Carrey still had to like practice faces in the mirror and like, but also had a more encouraging, I think, right, upbringing.
Oh,
or...
that's very key. You have to have people because I watched Adam Sandler's Mark Twain Prize. My boyfriend produced it,
yes,
so I'm at that, and I go, what the secret to Adam Sandler? Is not only that he was born in a funny family, he's a funny guy, he has the knack, right? Which a lot of us have, thousands of people have the knack.
Sure.
But what he had more than anything, that I think also Taylor Swift had, is a supportive family that never said, you're never gonna be, they didn't have a holla going, you're not gonna be famous. What do you think? That's crazy.
Yeah.
He went up, in fact, imagine this. He brought his older brother to his first open mic and he bombed horribly.
Yeah.
Yes. And his older brother said, that was amazing. You did the best. Can you imagine an older brother? Most older brothers are jealous and are going to go, that was fucking embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, don't do that again. Bully you. His older brother, from that day forward, was so supportive, said, you got to get up there and do it again. You have it. And just lied to him. Lie to children and tell them they're amazing.
You
and
think that, yeah?
You have to.
Yeah.
I could make a Taylor Swift if you give me a child. With just a smidge of talent. They also need, you have to have the luck in terms of you have to be born with the kind of brain that can work hard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it too.
And withstand the ups and downs and the rejection. Because you see these kids go on Idol that some of them get like, you know, back in the day when someone was just like, I feel like it would have been best if your father would have finished on your mother's back and you weren't ever born.
Yes.
And the kid's like, agree to disagree, but thank you. You know, and then
because
some kids
that
were
kid
like,
had a mom that said, I'm glad my husband finished it. That mom says, no matter what people tell you, you are worth something.
Yeah.
They're instilled with something that most comedians are not instilled with.
Yeah.
But Adam Sandler has that. And he got that. I was like watching this and all the speeches are about Adam's not the most talented guy. Like, what is how did he get to this level? And now he is, of course, because he has worked hard enough and he's a very hard worker. And he's also just insanely creative and silly and all those things. But the main ingredient, I think, is just having a supportive family. And if you weren't born with that, you got to figure out a way to
pump yourself
up, believe in yourself. And that's the stage I'm at in life is like figuring out a way to love myself and to accept myself for my limitations and also just like myself as is, which is who does that?
I know.
Because you could be born another thing, and I'm mad that I wasn't
I
all the time. I look at your stuff. I can't get you. I compare myself a lot to you. Thank God you're not a woman, because it would be even tougher. Because women compare themselves to women. Men compare themselves to men. We don't usually feel as threatened by each other.
Yeah.
Like, I can uplift. It's much easier for me to uplift men than it is for women. But I fight that. Now it's easy for me to uplift women, because I've built in this thing. The second I get threatened by a woman on Instagram, I post her video.
Good it's move.
Because I used to go, I hope no one sees this because she's so much better than me. And now I go, well, at least I know that this is funny. Maybe that's a mark on me for knowing something's funny. Now I have to now that person's going to be in the spotlight. Step it up, Glazer.
Yeah. So much healthier, too, to kind of just go.
And that girl's young. Yeah. She's going to need a mom cast in something someday. I want to be supportive.
Fuck yeah.
That's the person I want to be. I'm not that person. At my core, I'm a jealous bitch that hopes she dies accidentally somehow, tragically young.
We all think that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's who I am at my core, but I got to fight it and got to really, because there were women like that who did shitty things to me back when I was young and just like, I'm not a threat to you at all. You're so much better than me. You've been doing it 20 years longer. Yeah. What do you want me out of the way for?
So you're saying guys, you are less threatened.
But
so
I can watch you and go, God, the way his brain works is just so, the way he memorizes these things, the way he is so good at improv, all the voices. And I go, but he's a man. I can't touch that. Like, I can live in this space of like, he's not in my world. And I know that's crazy and not feminist because, oh, my tag is on my shirt. Because we are all supposed to just, there's room enough for all of us kind of stuff. I want to be that way, but I can't lie and say that I don't feel threatened by women.
Yeah, you shouldn't. And I think you're full of shit if you say you aren't.
But they do it all the time.
Yeah.
And you get shit if you say that you are. That's not a supportive woman.
I think human beings are incapable of we're capable of so much. I think we're capable of so much more empathy and understanding and compassion than I think we give ourselves credit for. But I also think we're very incapable of being just perfect in every moment and being able to see something and go, I know how I should feel, but fuck, this is, because it's just part of.
I can't help the way I feel.
Yeah.
Britney Spears. I can't help the way I feel. It's like, I don't feel bad anymore for the way I feel. Sometimes I'm like, I wish I felt something differently, but I'm not choosing to be this jealous cunt right now. I'm not choosing to wish that girl didn't exist or that, you know, it's just the way my brain works, because I'm smart and I realize that the way the world works, there isn't room for all of us. Yeah. I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid to think that me aging is actually going to hurt my career, because it tends to for women. You're not, as a woman, you're supposed to just, embrace your age, embrace your size, embrace your lines on your face. I wish I could, but I'm not going to lie and say that I love my body every day just because that's what's in to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie about it. I struggle with it.
How have you always been so just I was watching, I think, an interview with you on, it was Graham Benzinger?
Right? Oh, God, yeah. No, Graham got it out of me.
But you've always been on and off stage, as long as I've known you, and candid's, I think, not
like
the
that word.
Yeah,
it's candid. Sweet.
Yeah, because honest sounds like, I mean, you say open book, and you were talking about with your boyfriend how it's maybe tough. You realized through F-Boy Island, but you were talking about how after being a part of that show and seeing just kind of looking in the mirror a little bit and being I'm, which I've done a lot just from being married and dating my wife prior to that, was just there's another side to the story. There's also just perspective. It just made me take a look at myself more, which I think was helpful. Because it's good to just drop your guard, more than you think you should. At least for me.
Yes.
But you were saying how tough it is for someone to date you. And I just thought that was a very clean, healthy just approach to be I don't know, just was very self-reflective, which I think we don't do enough in general. I know I don't. So to have that aha moment was really cool to see you be and it seems like it's paid dividends for your relationship, because you're now just more accepting of I am this way a little bit. And so I get why
he might be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it real. I feel
have
a lot
always
of
been
freedom.
That can, I guess.
I think that I've always been, I've always sought that out in the people that I've projected perfection onto. So when I was growing up, I always wanted to, I guess I didn't even know that I wanted it, but I just thought everyone was perfect on TV. And so when I started being on TV and having microphones in front of me, I think it's my duty to dispel anything that someone might lump onto me, which or when everyone's like, God, you're working so much, you are the hardest work, and I go, let's be honest, yeah, I show up to things, but I'm not like writing at cafes, I'm not going over my sets afterwards. The hard work, it's an illusion, you know, like I just like to set people straight, because I don't want anyone to ever compare themselves to me and feel like they're lacking. I don't want to ever make anyone feel wow. the way I felt when I looked at Jennifer Aniston when I was a kid, or and not, it's not her fault. Like that's was the 90s and early 2000s. Perfection. Everyone's thin. Everyone's totally done up. There, you could see no. There wasn't as much paparazzi photos. There wasn't makeup lists and let's show our cellulite. It was. I grew up in that time, so I feel like I go overboard with it sometimes and really like to get dark. And people sometimes worry for me because they go, "Oh my God, you have suicidal thoughts." I'm like, but a lot of people do. I'm just the one that's talking about it. But it's not that, don't worry about yeah. me. I'm just talking about a thing that comes up for me sometimes. So sometimes I have to realize, like, pull back, Nikki. Like, it's a little much. Like, really? We don't need to hear every fucking little, like, sad detail about you. So I'm embarrassed of it a little bit now, but I think I find it just so freeing when I find, what I was saying before, when I heard Burr talk seriously about something he struggled with, I was yeah. just like, I couldn't have gotten more. I wanted more of it because I just like when we all relate to one another.
You crave connection from people that maybe seem not incapable, but like where you're like, oh, I'm never going to get that from that person because they are up on this pedestal.
Yeah.
Right?
And I just don't want anyone at home to feel like
yeah.
alone with the shit. Like if someone, because I've dealt with this shit for years alone. And so now that I have a platform, it's like, and I think I do it in a way because people reach out to me and say, oh my God, I have those thoughts too. And I go, oh my God, good, I'm not wow. alone. So it's like I get
it
back.
You get a lot of that. The way you are with your fans too is really admirable and commendable.
Well, I get that from Taylor, I think, Swift.
Cool.
Just like the connection I feel with her, I don't think I did it intentionally, but I feel like she's a friend of mine. There's a parasocial relationship, I'm aware, that's like unhealthy and everything. But I don't want to even meet her, honestly.
You don't?
No, because until she wants to meet me. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to bug her.
Doesn't she know about you?
She definitely does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm waiting until there's a call made and like she wants to
hang
out.
I heard you're at the show. Yeah.
Yes.
You want to come grab a Panera
But until
soup.
Then, I will keep spending my money and supporting her in every way and not need a single thing from her because she doesn't owe me anything. And she's given me already so much. And so I feel like, but her relationship with her fans and being one of them and talking to other fans in the Swifty community, I just know that we all feel like we have this like big sister who's looking out for us, who shares everything with us in her songs, not in interviews, but like in her lyrics. She tells us more than the most honest comedian has ever, more than I'm sharing.
Wow.
It's all there. It's all coded, though. And so I like to have that connection with my fans where they feel like they know me. That's why I call my fans on my podcast, where I get really real and just not that I get go into it, but I just don't. If something's going on in my life, I'm depressed that day, I like will cry about it on the podcast. I just don't. It's the only place where I don't have to try.
Yeah.
Ever.
What are
and I call them my besties because I feel like they're my best. It was tongue in cheek at first because it's such a lame word, but I really feel like they're my best friends because they could be if they lived in my town and we could hang
yeah.
out. If you like that podcast and that version of me, then you love me and I love you.
Have you ever met a fan after a show where you're like, you even have a 2-minute encounter and you're like, oh, we could probably be homies?
Yes,
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
And it's my podcast fans. It's the ones that are like the real ones. The ones that are from the roasts, like, I appreciate those fans
yeah.
and from my stand-up and stuff. But in my stand-up is getting more very authentically me and less performative as I age, as we all get
yeah.
on stage. So I think now my stand-up fans will start to feel that way to me of like, these people I want to hang out with. It sucks when you have fans that are like not people you want to hang out with. When you're attracting
yeah.
the wrong, you're doing something wrong, I think.
Fuck
if you're
yeah.
attracting fans that you wouldn't hang out with.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we know a lot of people that do that.
Yeah. Let's go down the list. why do you think people love reality TV?
Because it's
and then why do you
exactly
love
the same
reality TV?
Same reason. You get to see people. It's fake. The situations are fake. The emotions aren't. And people don't get to see other people's emotions that often. We all guard that. It's all behind closed doors. And so reality shows bring out those emotions and you see people cry about dumb shit. You cry about dumb shit. You sit on your couch and go, I would never do that. But yet you did it the day before. It makes you feel less alone for being fucking crazy.
Totally.
And we all feel that way. So I love reality shows because they're like, they are real. When people say, this is a talking point I've used before, but when people go, reality shows are fake. I'm like, oh, so do you watch scripted shows? And they're like, yeah. And I go, things that are written by white men in
you know,
Burbank
Martin
for
Sheen's
an actor.
Not the president, right?
I know. Yeah. It's the fakest thing ever. are. What are you talking about? Like,
so
fake.
Funny.
So it's like, it's the dumbest thing to hear reality shows are fake. The situations, no one's supposed to be on, have their phones taken away from them and only be dating for 4 weeks, dating four separate women for 4 weeks where they fall in love. But the love that comes from that is fucking real.
Sure.
Because we've set it up. It's a zoo.
I just met a couple people from Love is Blind in Seattle on that last. You watched that season?
I've never watched Love is... Wait, Love is Blind?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love that show.
You watched the Seattle season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
which one did you meet?
Well, Kwame and Marshall. So
yes!
I played, got to be homies with them. At celebrity golf and basketball tournament.
Marshall, which one was Marshall? Oh, I remember Marshall.
The other super
sweet
black dude. Yeah, super smooth. Yeah.
Yes, they got kind of screwed over
He got screwed over by that gal, and she went back with the other guy who showed up to a mixer drunk. He's the shit. He's fine.
I love them all.
Yeah.
Even that woman.
And was with this girl, Chelsea.
Oh, I know Chelsea. Yeah. She's just like.
Yeah. And she's that. And wasn't around her enough to really get it. Kwame's the shit. I'll say that.
Yes. Kwame's the fucking shit.
And
even though I did not care for him holding what's her name's hand and talking intimately after he had just proposed to Chelsea.
He did tell me, he goes, because now I'll see her on the gram, like lots of sponsored things and on planes and holding juices and whatever. And he was like, because I go, which was anybody just like what you see is what you get, but also just like, where everybody was like, what the fuck? And he said her for sure. But that what's also interesting, because then he was kind of getting mixed up with her. So I was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you get, that show's different. I mean, but it's not.
But he was saying
they fall in love. Yeah. They really do.
That's why I was bringing it up, because just to piggyback on your sentiment, he was just like, man, because that was my first question. I was like, how can you really get, he's like, I said, how quickly do you forget the cameras are there? He's like, pretty quick, man. Like, once you get into it, you're just like, I don't know. They also make it comfortable, like to where you're not. He's like, yeah, there's certain times when they're coming up, and maybe if, you know,
Have you tried to pay attention to your breathing, like when you're meditating or something? How long can you keep your focus on that? You can keep your focus, like there are cameras around. Eventually, it's after hours, you're gonna get used to it.
Yeah.
And you're still aware of it, but the thing that I always say about making people fall in love is that it's just like the outside world. It's just fast-paced, because if you lose your phone, you don't have any other women to be like, maybe I'll
lose your phone.
What is that?
Your old joke. Remember earlier in the podcast when you said, sometimes I lose my phone, and then I said, you sound like this would be one of your early bits.
Yes, that's so.
We'll edit this out.
No, please don't. Yeah, people know exactly what you're referencing.
Okay, good.
I'm lost. So people, if you're taking away your phone and you don't get to talk to any of your family and none of your friends, and you're just living in a hotel room on a ranch, and all you do all day is date this person, and then when you're not dating them, a producer is interviewing you going, so you and Kevin.
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
There's something there.
Yeah.
You really like him, don't you?
I mean, he's fine, yeah.
It will make you fall in love faster, because that's what happens on the outside world too. We talk to our friends, they get in our heads, but it takes a long time because you have a job and you have, you know, to take the trash out. There, we remove anything you'd ever have
no
to
distractions.
Do, and it just fast tracks it.
Wow.
So it's still real. It's still the same thing. And on F-Boy Island, it's amazing because these F-Boys, the show is that three girls come in and they're looking for love, and all the guy contestants, there's like 20 to 30 of them, depending on which season you watch. And half of them are F-boys that are just there for the $100,000 cash prize at the end if they win, if they get chosen. And the other guys are nice guys who split the $100,000 with the girl. But they're all pretending. They all look like F-boys, and they're all saying they're nice guys. But they're not. And so by the end of it, though, the F-boys end up, some of them go, the premise is like, can you change an F-boy? And I thought, no. I mean, these guys came into the show wanting to steal $100,000 from a woman and lie the whole time. But the thing is, they, on the outside world, they just have tons of women in their phone. They're constantly lying to women, recycling them, banging them, never calling them again. These are the kind of guys that are on the show. But they've never had to, like, date women over and over. They've always run from that because they're scared of intimacy. They don't like themselves. They're not letting someone in. But they're forced to date people over and over. So they fall in love despite themselves.
So some of these, like, true bro-y, just like
lose it. And they're
I've never met a pair of tits. I don't try to. And you're like, and that guy's all of a sudden like, hey, I'm strictly a, I won't even hold hands on a first date now. I won't even fuck for a year.
I've seen it happen. I just figured out this season, I put it all together, why they are able to change is because they are forced to not run away from these girls. Because what an F-boy is just a guy who's, you know, yes, he likes sex. Who doesn't? You know, like all these things, like they like getting their dick wet from random girls. Every guy, no matter what he is, likes novelty and likes new sure. pussy. But these guys are scared of intimacy, and we force them to have it. And then once they let it in, they're like, this actually feels really good to like go on more than one date with one girl and hold hands and talk. Yeah. And you can't really fuck on our show because there's no – you go on a date, and then we send you home. So there's no – if you're not getting to like come, you're like – yeah. That's all the books I've read about like trying to get a husband is like don't let them come and they'll always want you because they want to fuck you and once they do they'll kind of move on to the next thing but like don't and that's what we kind of scientifically like engineered in this setting. It's awesome. It's so fun.
You're a really great host.
Oh, thanks.
Because you're good at being hosty.
Yeah.
Good at being conversational uh-huh. and good at just. At all the gameplay stuff and setting it up and yeah. like and then but then you're casual in conversation with the jokes and the quick bits and even setting up all the when all the guys were coming in one by one, which is like so crazy to watch and like
elimination episodes, how tense it is.
I mean, yeah, and like it's just it's so tense.
It's these guys. I mean, their lives are on the line. This is all they've been living for weeks, so they are conditioned to. Believe this is life
and
or death.
Guys, and they're competitive, and it's like the true.
That's why
aggro.
We do most of the jokes in cold reads, which means like where they're the guys aren't there. We get them safety before because
really?
A lot of the jokes I write are so mean.
You
were
these
telling guys me this. Can't handle it when they're that tense. So,
yeah.
But then last week or one time though, we shot an elimination, and it was an intense one, and I had a lot of jokes written that I was going to do not in front of them, but we edited it together later, so it looked like it. And but we forgot to do cold reads, and all of a sudden they were just there, and I'm like in my ear, like, I have some jokes that aren't really gonna. I have to do them because I love them so much, but these guys are not ready to hear jokes. They're like all about to start crying, and so right before I was like, guys, I was like, Mercedes, can I make fun of your shirt? I really like it, but it's a joke. And he was just like, yeah, sure. And so it went over well, but
oh
I was so
God,
scared because
yeah.
I do. That is I think that's what I do best as a host is strike a balance between like taking it very seriously and respecting these people who have given up their lives,
yeah.
who have put themselves out there to be judged at home by people who go, I would never do that. It's like, yeah, because you're embarrassing. You'd never trust a camera around you because you know how embarrassing you
yeah,
are and you
fuck.
Drink too much. And like,
yeah,
you, the reason
I
you
know.
Wouldn't do that is because you'd never be on the show because first of all, you're not interesting enough to be on a reality show. And you can judge these people all the time for how dumb they are, which is what I've done too, and sit on my couch
it's
and
a point
think
of reality
I'm,
TV. You sit on home and you judge it so you feel better about yourself.
Yes, but the truth is you would never do it, not
fuck
because
no.
you're not desperate enough to do it, and that could be a reason, like I don't need to go do that, but the real reason is you're embarrassing and you know it, and you know that eventually that would come out, or you just see yourself, even my posture during this episode, I'm like, I'm gonna see a thing and go, how could you not sit up? There's
yeah.
things you end up seeing about yourself
yeah.
that are so fucking excruciating. And these people, whether they're doing it out of bravery or stupidity, they're still doing it, and I really respect it. And so I go in not hating the people on the show at all, actually really like being like, thank you for your service, because this is like going to ruin some of your lives,
yeah.
potentially.
Fuck
potentially.
Yeah. Have you been, my wife want to know if, she loves the show, have
uh-oh.
You been hit on by any of the guys?
No, I...
And how do you deal with that in general?
That's a great question.
Like, just in comedy and, like, life
and... like being hit on in general?
Yeah, she asked from the show, and then she was just like, you know,
aww.
As a comedian and just... You know, at shows and whatever, DMs, like, how do you just, like,
yeah.
deflect or block or, like,
yeah.
if it's live, do you make it funny and whatever? Because she was
good.
Telling me when she worked in restaurants when she was younger, and she was telling me just how it was the way it was. Like, guys would work their servers when she was, you know, running this bar at, like, 18, 19 at this big country club in Arizona, and guys that were servers that were, like, 40 would just squeeze her ass and, like, just, like, and I was like, what the fuck? And then I'm just like, where the fuck are they right now?
Where are they?
And I was just like,
on Facebook.
I was like, were you upset, sick? No, it's like I couldn't report it, but also she was just like, it didn't bother me because I knew that's how it was.
Yes, okay, I relate to that. Let me answer the F-boy thing
sure.
first. It's strange because I'm desperate to be perceived as hot by these hot guys. I mean, who wouldn't be? I'm not lying to say that, like, yeah, I hope they all would like to fuck me. Like, I hope they all, I want everyone to want to fuck.
Sure.
Let me, like, it, and not because I want to get fucked. It's like, I want to have that I want, then that means they give you, life gives
yes.
you things. It's
yes.
like, you know, so I want to be perceived as fuckable, but at the same time, I absolutely cannot ever, I never want to be competitive with these women. I don't want these women to ever think that I am trying to, like,
yeah.
I'm never trying to get them to want to fuck me. I just hope if it happens, it happens yes. naturally. I'm
if
never
you're putting
vying
out the vibe,
for them.
It's not,
it, that would be disgusting of me as a host to do. And one of my producers says, you can try to fuck one of the F boys when you're ready to leave the show. And I'm like, oh, what an out that would be. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
You know, because it would be a gross abuse of my power to even do that. And also, like, I don't know. I can just turn it off really well. Like, I think I got
the charm.
My first, any just kind of sexuality where someone would want to, like, pursue anything with me. My first kiss was like an attack, kind of. Like, I don't mean to make light of it, but it's kind
you were
of
attacked?
Fun. Yeah, like, I was really a late bloomer, as I said. So this was my, like, junior year of high school. I really liked this guy I was hanging out with a lot. We were friends. And I was dying for him to like me back, but I didn't think it was even possible. Little did I know he had a crush on me, too. One night we were watching Letterman, year probably 2000, Hedberg was on. I remember we watched Hedberg for the first time on Letterman. We were both, like, dying laughing. It was after a football game late at night. And he was like, hey, I like you. And we were both just watching the screen, not even looking at each other. And I was like, oh, I like you a lot, too. And he was like, okay, so, like, I could ask you on a date sometime? And I was like, yeah. And we're in his parents' living room. And then he just ran from the couch and just, like, jumped on me, you know, like, just started making out with me. And I was like, get off! Get off! Fuck. And I pushed him off, which he got off right away. Like, it was a little bit of a struggle, but I got him off.
What happened, like, the slow, like, maybe an arm around this?
He was just awkward. Yeah, and he was just, it's awkward.
Do you think he saw in a movie or read in a magazine, like, don't even let her know it's coming. Just pounce like fucking Simba. Yeah.
Probably, because... I just think he had ADD or, like, he had a
I will say this from the
stuff.
Male perspective, just taking myself and tapping back into it. The about to kiss a girl moment is fucking terrifying.
It's brutal. That's why I usually just tell, I am the first one to be like, do you want to kiss me? And because it's like, let's
nothing
cut
wrong
this
with
bullshit.
That. Because, I mean, fuck. I mean, and I'm speaking for myself, you know, like, it's not like I had any great teaching for it, but it's like just knowing, like, the moment, because I think it wasn't even, it was obviously pre-Me Too and all that, and it's not like being too aggressive was in my head. It's not like I thought if I leaned forward, it was, I think it was the idea of rejection, for sure, of just like, what are you doing? That moment of like, or no, or perceiving the friendship that it was, because it always, hopefully it starts, or.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't even believe you guys do it. It's
so maybe,
like,
that's what he was doing. He's like, fuck it. If I do it quick, so you won't have a chance to tell me no.
And I had just
said,
yes, I like you. Yeah. You know, like, he thought he had the green light, and he's clunky, and he just ran over and jumped on me. And there's no way to slowly move to the couch. Like, he just was like, I'll just do it fast, and it's going to be this romantic moment. I know that he thought that. So I pushed him off, and he was so embarrassed, he ran to his parents' kitchen, and which I couldn't see, and he starts slamming cabinets and going, I'm fucking stupid. I'm such a fucking idiot. And his anger is, like, scaring me, and I'm like, it's not a big deal. I was like, will you drive me home? Because he was just in there for so long screaming.
You probably
like,
don't have road rage based on your kitchen behavior.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I should have known, because he was, little did I know, he's guzzling vodka. He drives me home. He's going
to Four Loko.
He's
banging his head against the fridge.
He
puts
his hand in
the blender.
He was a crazy person. I realize now that he had, like, definite, like, mental health issues.
Damn.
So he drove me home. He was going so fast. When I got out of the car at my parents' place, he sped away, and I fell, like, almost got run over. So this is my first kiss. So
he didn't come to a complete stop. And
no, he was so embarrassed. He just was like, get out of the car. And I was like, okay, thanks for the night. And my foot is still in the car as he pulls off at top speed, slams on the gas. So, and then I just remember, this is the first time I'd ever in my life been like, fuck you! In my parents' subdivision, so loud. And then the next day he called me and apologized, but it was still like,
no, damage is done, man.
If you make a guy mad by rejecting his kiss, he's going to try to kill you, kind of. Like, that's how I think my psyche registered that. So from then on, I did not give a guy an inch to ever make a move, because even if I liked a guy, I liked that guy and he did that to me. So even if I like a guy, I can't trust him to not do something
Holy
that I don't want to do. So until I started drinking, I never hooked up with a guy after that. Like, it just didn't happen. And because
no
I was scared of
trust.
Men. And so even to this day, when I have a crush on someone, they'll never know. They never know, because I just don't let myself be vulnerable in that way. I've never had a guy be like, can I kiss you? I'm always the one to beat them to it. Or when I finally go, I like you, they're like, what? So it's just, I think that I've just put up that guard ever since then. So I haven't really had a lot of aggressive hitting on happen. It happens with lesbians more than men because I think I don't put that guard up with them because I don't expect it.
Yeah.
So when I do meet and greets, I will get like ass squeezes and like kind of too tight of holds and things that make me deeply uncomfortable from women because I, for some reason, whatever I'm doing, men pretty much know to leave me the fuck alone. And I'm not saying that women who are victimized, like, do something about it. You should have a better defense. Whatever I'm doing has been, I've been lucky enough to keep predators away. But that's not to say that there's not some well-known comedians who have tried to kiss me when they're drunk and like done stupid stuff, but it's been like I've just batted away, been like, gross, whatever. You're wasted and I hope you don't remember this tomorrow because you're gonna be very embarrassed kind of things. Yeah.
Sweetheart, I'm hungry. Well, why don't you make yourself some soup again? Can't we go to the grocery store? I hate going to the grocery store. It takes too long and people try to kidnap you. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Are you also having trouble potentially getting kidnapped at the grocery store? It's a real thing. It's happened to my wife twice. So HelloFresh is here to save your life with farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep so you don't have to go to the store. You can just count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. My wife and I have been using HelloFresh for a couple years now, and we're obsessed, okay? We love to cook. She loves to cook. I eat the stuff she cooks. And there are so many great recipes that they're coming out with, especially just in time for summer. You want all the good tasting food at your doorstep, and HelloFresh has it. From chef-crafted seasonal recipes to their new Fresh and Fit summer menu, HelloFresh brings flavor right to your door. Pre-portioned ingredients help cut down on food waste, while step-by-step instructions make cooking a breeze and not a chore. Do you know what I'm saying? You want your home to feel like a hangout place with crowd-pleasing eats. You know, a backyard bratwurst or a tangy key lime pie, HelloFresh Market makes summer entertaining a cinch. The ingredients travel from the farm to your door in less than 7 days for a quality that you can taste. And did you know that HelloFresh offers more than just delicious dinners? They do. It's now easier than ever to skip that extra grocery store run by adding snacks, sides, and more to your weekly order. All you got to do is simply shop HelloFresh Market and take your pick from a curated selection of over 100 items. They got so much shit, man. You want to eat well this summer? HelloFresh's menu features calorie-smart and protein-smart lunch and dinner options, plus new vegan dinners to choose from. All you vegans, can you hear me? You're probably asleep because you're tired, but HelloFresh makes it easy to reach your food goals with flavorful recipes that leave you feeling satisfied. They offer 40 recipes to choose from every single week, so you're never going to get bored. That's the one thing about food. You don't want to eat the same shit if you're trying to eat healthy. HelloFresh mixes it up. They got fast and fresh recipes ready in 15 minutes or less. Plus, HelloFresh is 25% cheaper than takeout. It is. You know it is. When you Uber Eats and Postmates, that shit adds up. They feature quality proteins, fresh produce, and plans for many lifestyles. It's no wonder why HelloFresh, one more time, is America's number one meal kit. Be a part of the HelloFresh family. Start living and feeling better right now. Go to HelloFresh.com/about50. Use promo code about50, I swear to God, for 50% off plus free shipping. Guys, HelloFresh.com/about50. And use promo code ABOUT50 for 50% off plus free shipping. That's incredible. If you like food and you like feeling good, HelloFresh is the place to be. So one more time, HelloFresh.com/ABOUT50, promo code ABOUT50 for 50% off plus free shipping.
So the lesbian community is trying to make some moves.
They're not wrong. I mean, like, I would go, I could see myself going that way if the person was the right kind of person. But I think that's why that happens is I just don't expect it from women.
Right.
And so it's happened before where I'm like, what the you don't get to touch me that much, or where you just feel really violated in meet and greets. But generally, people know not to do stuff like that.
It is weird in a meet and greet when people will, like, take a little, like, I've had guys and gals.
Oh, women do it to you.
I had a guy rub
so
my
much.
Neck about 2 weeks ago, like,
rub
and then come back
neck.
For three different pictures.
Like, on your picture?
Yeah, first it was just on the shoulder, and I was like, I mean, look, I always do like a, put together, and then, but I'm never rubbing anybody's shoulders. And so rubbing the neck, and then he came back for another one, and then went to the other side, and then the hand was
they
on my back of my neck.
They always fucking come back for more. Their camera didn't work, or they have more people now, and the person that made you feel so icked out always comes back for another picture.
Yeah. And I didn't want to, it was this weird thing where I was like, oh man, you're making me have to say something. But I was like, I'll try to say it funny, but out loud so people know this guy. So I go, should we all rub each other's necks? I go, what's going on right now? And then he was like, oh, sorry, is that too much?
Yes.
Is that too much?
It is too much. Why do you have to ask?
We're taking a picture.
Any is too much.
It didn't say, hey, come take a pic. Like, and
this
then,
isn't a massage where that's a, oh, sorry, I'll loosen up. That's so crazy. And you're so right. It's like, You saying that he came back whenever there's someone making me uncomfortable, I swear to
God,
10 times, they always come back. Yeah. And then, but the people around you who are watching for this thing don't catch it. They don't see that touch is happening. And so I've taught my guy who takes my pictures, I go, you just go, just don't even go 1, 2, 3. I don't want to touch a potential person long. We don't need to count. Just start getting it. Yeah. I'm going to be ready.
Oh, man, yeah.
So it's don't like, give but most people are just totally fine. And I don't even mind a waist. Like, most men, like, don't go in for the waist and do the hook. I mean, I don't mind a man touching my waist in a platonic.
I think most people are appropriately handsy.
Agreed.
Great rom-com that you could start. About, and the opening scene is this fucking kiss with you as a teenager getting kicked out. Because my comedy brain went to a very funny scene of you like getting out, like tumbling out of the car.
Yes.
And then your parents being there and you opening the door and they're like, how was the date? And you're like, ugh. Or maybe you're talking, and whoever the best friend is the John Krasinski type that's like, and you tell him about falling out of the car, and like he's like, well, at least he gave you a ride home. Like some sort of like, you know, like my date, I just went on, or if it's a girl doing it, you know, like.
There is a movie there. I like that your brain thinks that way.
Oh, you probably have 9 movies out of, if you were to just sit down and talk, I mean, that's
so much work, Adam.
It is.
Everything that, like, your dreams require, like your telephone call, I'm like, well, that would be exhausting.
Oh, man,
to
I would
to
love
that,
to write
but
that
it's
movie
great.
For you, or at least just help you, like, sit down and talk it all out. I mean,
that's
I just.
It's so cool that you like to do the kind of work that I don't. Thank God for people like you.
Yeah, I mean,
that enjoy that process.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah.
Of like writing scripts.
Just the creating from start to finish. I mean,
whoa.
You have it too, because it's obviously with stand up, like when you lay down an hour, then you're getting it going again. But I also, like even just with that Dr. Phil Bill Burr thing, it was like, that seemed so daunting. But then I was like, creating it from the ground up with knowing that it was all on me to kind of like, and decide that we're going to do that and then we're going to do that, like, is really exciting. But then also like having people to do it with. I definitely don't want or need like, it's my way or the highway, and I need to do it all because
no,
I know
you're
best.
You're a collaborative, kind person. No, I would. If this ever happens, I'd love to be a part of your team and be in your thing.
Oh, 1,000.
Thank you.
Oh, you'd
I would
be a
love
rock
to hang
star.
Out. I was just talking about doing these podcasts and being like, how fun they are because you just get to hang out with a friend. Like, we ran into each other at a show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just had the, someone was like, how was the show this night? I was like, I just love talking to Adam Ray. It's so fun. And then I get to go do this podcast. I was like,
I love you.
I'm looking forward to it because you just get to have a friend hang.
1,000.
Yeah. So that is the dream, is like working with friends. We're so lucky.
Grown-ups, people are like, dude, what? He's making that for kids.
Sandler.
You're like, oh, he had a chance to do 3 months in a fucking like private, you know, upstate Maine, I think, with all his buddies. Like, get the fuck out of here.
It's
and knowing
life.
That the formula for the movie is going to make the most money. Was that Malibu gig real quick? Was that like, I know that was for all of us a little like, oh, wow, super rich Malibu people. But it ended up being fine, right?
Yeah, it was good. It was, I was going. I, that
Do you
was
get
like,
scared for gigs like that when you're like, oh, this isn't a comedy club and it could be one way or the other?
No. Because
you just know what you're doing at this point.
I bombed all the time. I can survive a bomb. If 200 people in Malibu think I suck, like the whatever's going to happen from that is not going to really impact me. And also, I don't really rely on. I just know I always have an arsenal of things that can work. And if they don't work, it's their fault.
Right.
And those kinds of things.
Because you have your notoriety is at a level to where, like, I mean, a lot of people are there for you. Most of them.
That's a weird thing.
So and also, so do you feel the like, oh, man, like, I just want to, like, do my shit. But do you feel like, I guess, how do you balance that for any set, I guess, when you're in town where people are like, the expectations are higher now, right?
Yeah. And I sometimes acknowledge, like, God, she's not as funny as she is in the roast. Like, I'll say that under my breath and people will laugh really hard. And I go, oh, yeah, I know that's what they're thinking. I call it out. Like, if I'm messing on some stuff or messing around with new stuff. And then I do the classic thing of like, this stuff is new. And then they all fucking love that because they feel like they're a part of the
I have nothing wrong
the
with
building
that
block process.
Exactly.
That pressure of. I actually don't feel it, and I'm so surprised that I don't, because I don't know. I've had some rough sets recently because I've been just depressed. If I'm depressed, it's hard for me to, like, get into show mode because that's a good thing, though, because that means I'm authentic on stage.
Yep.
And that there's not, like, a performative quality to what I'm doing as much as there used to be where I could just, like, snap into this character of this girl on stage. And so now it's harder to predict when I'm going to be in those moods and then like not have a set that night or something and power through. And so sometimes my negativity and the joke can just go to a place of like, she's just mad and angry and grumpy, and it's not really that funny. But what I've been doing recently to snap out of it and fall in love with stand-up again is listen to like great stand-up. And which I think I really avoided for many years because I just start to sound like that person, or I start to compare myself and I'm not that good. But instead it's been absorbing into my DNA, and I've been doing so much better on stage just being influenced by my favorites. Because
Finding joy in the art form, so that you're not like, I mean, you have to remind yourself of like, why did I want to do this?
Yes.
Because I liked this, I liked that. When I used to drive to Laughlin, Nevada to see my dad when he lived out there, I would go to Amoeba Records and buy, every time I would go, I'd probably buy a new 5 CDs. This was like 2005, 2006. And just listen, and just back and forth on repeat, like a new Patton, a new Seinfeld's on Broadway, or Robin Williams, Brian Regan. And
feeling kind of Patton.
Yeah.
I have that one memorized. Yeah. It's such a good, yes.
Unreal. A Ray Romano, I think, Carnegie Hall one. And I would just, and it was, it just made the drive pass by, but it also was so, it just made me get excited. And this was 2 years before I started.
Wow.
But I just was like, I wanted to get excited about it, and so that I could have as much like, I want to do this before I know that I'm probably going to have a lot of like, you don't want to do this.
Yes.
I don't know. Just build up my
I haven't felt that way since I was that age too, like young and like listening to it again. And I think I just stayed away from it because now that I'm in the realm of those guys, if I'm not as good, I'm going to feel really bad about myself. But the truth is I'm listening to old Louis and I'm like, oh, he's 39 in this special. I'm like, I'm about at this level. Yeah. Like, okay. Like, because I listened to all of Louis, like all of his albums that are on Spotify, which I don't think is all of his specials, within the past 2 weeks, all from the recent one. And then I went back to, and you see him, you see common themes. You kind of go, it was here all along. We should have known all along. Like, he told us a million times 1,000%. What he was up to. It's crazy that anyone was shocked, which I kind of admired in a way, because I think, not admired, but I'm just like, it's a tricky thing to talk about, but I just was like, we shouldn't have been as just baffled. Shocked.
Yeah.
Like I really am. I feel like such a bad person sometimes. I feel like I'm a closeted like sociopath. Do you ever feel that way? Do you really?
Oh yeah.
Like, okay. I think that's a normal thing for comedians to
fuck
feel.
Yeah.
Like, I'm naturally an evil person. I wish horrible things. I don't do horrible things. I really don't think, but
I do a shoulda, woulda, coulda thing a lot that my wife hates, where it's like, I'm like, fuck, I go, what? That almost happened. And then this would have happened. This would have happened. She's like, why are you playing out these like doomsday scenarios?
So to yourself, but you don't wish bad things on other people.
Sometimes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
But also, but
I needed that.
Oh yeah.
Or just like,
but you try to combat it with like, I'm just kidding. Or I don't really, and you don't really. I mean, like, because that's,
I think.
But sometimes it's cathartic to say.
Listening to Louis and how honest he is about being a bad person is really freed up something in me. Like, something in my stand-up has changed since, like, injecting him into my veins. Mm. And I really am grateful for, like, having immersed myself in it.
Yeah.
Also, Mulaney. Like, I just, the great, the people that I look up to the most, I've just been, like, mainlining.
And what's very cool now is think about the people that are, like, you know, at the point to where I was in 2005, 2006, that are now looking at your shit
to
get fired up.
I know. I just,
it's cool.
I know it's, no, not please don't to you, but like when people do that, I'm like, no, there's other better things to listen to. It's so crazy.
You got a big body of work
and
a lot of great stuff.
I do. I actually do. I'm going to start saying that.
I want to say this real quick and then we're going to wrap this up. I'll watch Burr Conan compilations when I'm just going down rabbit holes or things I want to laugh at. You've got just as many.
Oh.
It's very cool.
Thanks.
Because we've talked about this before. Conan was my, like,
that's the guy.
That was my guy, and I to not even, like, I wanted to be on the couch so bad, even more, way more than stand-up, because I wanted to banter with him. And
oh my God, you would be so good on this
podcast. I did his Tonight on Conan, you know, Nikki Glaser for about 5 years, all the promos that would play on TBS that were like.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
And so I pitched to Jeff Ross at one point because I met him through a friend of
Jeff Ross, the producer of Conan, yes.
And I was like, hey, man, like to go on. I think it was a point when Mad TV on CW was coming back, and then I was hosting this game show on TBS with Eliza. And so I was like, there's a couple things to whatever, and it'd be cool to have the promo guy on. And then I thought about this whole bit to where the show, Conan would be like, yeah, you actually do the promos for us, and let's play the thing. And it was like, Tonight on Conan, you know, Tom Hanks, who fucking cares?
Oh.
And Conan's new best friend, Adam Ray, blah, blah, blah. And Conan be like, is that,
that's
did we
a great
air
bit.
That? Or some sort
oh,
of
that's
a,
such a Conan
just
bit.
A fun little, yeah. And, And Jeff tried to make it happen, and then they just and things
oh,
happened.
Oh, well, that's cool, though.
And then it was getting ready to be the transition from the main show to the short show.
Right.
So they had to pack in a lot of guests.
Yes.
But your couch appearances with him were just the level of play was high. And that
oh,
was
thanks.
Always like, that's with a guy like that, that's all he wanted, right?
Yeah.
To not have to feel like he had to drive the ship.
Oh, God.
He also was such a great laugher. And
he's
when
such
he,
a good
when
laugher.
He genuinely laughs, it's like, oh man, you just
and
feel
when
like
he
you
just
won the
like is like embarrassed a little bit when he has to laugh and he's just like
yeah.
like put his head down at his desk or he gets up and walks around those like
whether it's
I grew
real
up
or
watching
for the
that
moment.
Stuff.
Oh yeah, dude.
It's I wanted that too, and yeah. I those are the times I've worked the roasts and then the Conan appearances and really any kind of couch appearance are always the times,
you
but
prepped.
Really the Conan that I work the hardest on to make sure that it is
awesome,
flawlessly. It's just joke. There's no fat, and we're just getting to it.
I
and
think he respects
just,
that too.
Yeah, it, and I'm. That's the way everyone should approach these
I
things.
Know.
When I see people go on these things and phone it in and just be boring, I'm just like, the opportunity you're
oh,
squandering
man.
Here. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So I don't, there are so many areas of my life where I should work harder, and I always beat myself up about that. I'll beat myself up about not being as entertaining as I wanted to be on this. Like, it's nonstop, but most of my Conans have been where
spot
I walk
on.
Out and I go, you know what? You A plus. You did it. You studied hard and you got it. But I can't say that for everything in my life.
Nobody
it's
can.
It's too exhausting.
Nobody can. It's Rachel Ray might be able to.
Yeah.
We're going to close this out with an Inside the Actor Studio 10-question questionnaire to get to know Nikki Glaser a little bit better. And I'm going to play James Lipton 10
Ooh.
Quick questions. This is how he would close the show out.
Yeah, I remember.
Me with Nikki Glaser. Nikki, what is your favorite word?
Brandish.
What does it mean? Use it in a sentence, please.
The suspect brandished a weapon.
So like made or pulled out?
Pulled out.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I
just like the word ish, like brand. It's just
yeah.
like it's a crunchy word. I
also
like
a cool name maybe for a boy.
All right.
Brandish?
I'm open to having kids now.
Because of that name?
Yeah.
My wife likes the
or
name
band.
Killian
what?
From we just saw Oppenheimer.
Killian, yeah.
And she's like Killian Mert, like that's kind of a cool name.
Yes, the word killing it. It's
yeah.
awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's so badass.
What about Naomi? She likes that for a girl.
I love that. And you don't see many baby Naomis.
You don't.
I love that.
Is it Naomi or Naomi?
I would say Nay, but
yeah.
I also like that that can be the nickname. In Succession, there was a character named Naomi, and they called her Nay,
oh,
and I
yeah.
really liked that.
How
so that's
did
a
you
good
love that show, by the way.
I'm like, I'm still going through withdrawals.
Yeah, it sucks.
I can't handle that it's not in my life anymore, and I can't wait to go back and watch it again, but it's the greatest thing that's ever
that
happened
will be
to
a
me.
Good, like, rewatch in, like, I don't know, a couple years,
yeah.
maybe less?
I started watching only this year. I waited.
Oh, me too.
I didn't know. I knew I would love it, but I just wasn't ready. And now, oh, my God.
Yeah, brilliant. Some of the best TV I think I've ever seen.
That,
and I've seen all of Frasier.
Best writing. And, yeah.
Frasier's
good,
great,
too.
Yeah,
Frasier's
no,
one of the
example.
Best pilots of all time.
I haven't seen the pilot.
You should go back and watch the pilot. Someone, a TV writer told me, Mark Gross, he's a really very accomplished TV writer, said the pilot for Frasier is touching. It'll make you cry. It'll make you laugh. It has everything. It's perfect. So if
Holy
any TV
shit.
Writers out there that want an inspiration for a perfect multicam pilot, it's
cool.
Frasier.
What is your least favorite word?
I mean, probably the N-word. Yeah, definitely the N-word. The full thing.
Use it in a sentence, please. just joking. What turns you off? What turns you on? I'm sorry, first.
What turns me on?
Sexually or not?
Turning me on is good girl saying someone saying good girl, like that I've been like kind of bad and now they're impressed that I've like done the assignment,
yeah.
like I've like completing the assignment. Good girl.
Yeah,
that's pretty sexy.
What turns you off?
People being insecure and not knowing that they are. So insecurity turns me on and being honest about it, but like someone just being insecure and getting angry and just people not going to therapy turns me off.
Pushing you out
off.
Of a moving vehicle.
People thinking they're fully cooked. Like that's so gross to me. Just like,
wow.
Just
great
I'm done.
Premise.
You came out fine. Like you're done.
I'd listen to
what?
12 more minutes of you talking about that.
That's weird to me. It's like we should all, who
like
wants
shit
to
don't
not
stink.
Change?
Everyone's shit stinks.
Yes.
What are you doing?
It's awesome to change. It's so, thank God we change. Life is like so much, so boring if you just stay the same. But some people think they're like perfect. It's so weird.
Well, you just haven't gotten to know me.
Oh, exactly.
What is your favorite curse word?
I really like cunt.
It's so good.
It's good. I use it a lot. Probably too much for that. It's uncomfortable for people, but I like it. And I like calling myself one when I'm one. It's nice. Better than bitch. It's like
it is better than
it's
bitch.
It feels strong. It feels cool.
Bitch
to
feels
be a
worse
cunt.
Than cunt.
Yeah.
By the way, bitch and cunt. Here's what we need.
I agree.
Somebody. I don't know if it's Christopher Nolan or Paul Feig in the comedy world, or maybe like Larry David needs to have there needs to be like a beach cop duo named like bitch and cunt. Like John Bitch and Steve Cunt. That way we use them in a way that's not derogatory. Yeah. And then they're in our brains as like, dude, the two bet. Like that shit. Are you watching Bitch and Cunt?
And they're associated with men. That would be fun because it. But I like the cunt is empowering. I just feel like you're when you call yourself a cunt, you're like, yeah, it's addressing the insecurity. It's addressing I'm not a perfect person, but yes. I'm like, at least
bitch feels
I stand
real
up for myself.
Negative. Like
yeah.
You've done something wrong. Yeah. Cunt is like, you fucked up.
Cunt. No, cunt
be
can be
oh,
a real,
well, I know.
Cunt can be a bitch too.
Of course, it depends. It's all delivery
but
and
cunt
tone.
Cunt is like you're scared of her a little bit, which I feel like is a thing that bitches don't have as much power as cunts do. Bitches are kind of like a bitch is also if you call a man a bitch, that's a powerless person.
Yeah.
So calling a woman a bitch, there's inherently some of that in it too, I guess.
If you call a man a cunt, what did he do?
Oh, that's pretty good. If you call a man a cunt, I mean that's
if you call a man a cunt, you I don't know.
Have you ever met Dr. Phil?
No.
I know you weren't just doing
that
him,
was
but
Foxworthy,
it kind of
yeah.
sounded
oh,
like
fuck,
it.
Yeah.
But have you never met Dr. Phil?
No.
I love him.
You've met him?
Yeah, I did his podcast. We met on Kelly Clarkson's show, and then he booked me on his podcast on the couch at Kelly. It was awesome.
What a great day.
It was awesome.
What a great day.
I know.
What a great Hollywood day.
Yeah, it was cool.
Because you're doing Kelly Clarkson's show,
yeah.
which is very fucking cool.
Yeah.
And if you don't think it is, sorry that you don't know what cool shit is.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
What talk about just a regular person. There's so
1,000.
Few that you meet that you go, actually, this person's just as cool as you want her to be. And she's one of those. But yeah, that's a really cool thing when you do these shows and you get, or game shows, and you get to meet other celebrities and become friends with them through them also being on the show.
Fuck yeah.
And they kind of look at you like an equal.
In the same
he had never
boat.
Heard of me before, but I'm a guest on the thing next to him. So now I'm equal with him and he has respect for me.
Did you guys have banter?
Yeah, we had banter. I told him that, I told him, well, my mom, when I had anorexia and I was like dying in high school, my mom like didn't know what to do with me, but she was like, let's call the Dr. Phil show. And I was like, this is not something I want to be. She thought he was the one that would like
he,
solve it all.
For a few years, everyone I think thought that was the guru.
Yeah, that's
also,
who you
Oprah
call.
Really shoved him out.
To the rescue.
Yeah.
Dr.
To the
Phil
rescue.
Family, he would come in your family, he would fix everything. And he, and I also love his thing of when people go, you ask them a hard question, they go, I don't know. And you go, well, what if you did know, what would you say? I loved that. Yeah. And I use that all the time.
Because we all don't know, but there's a lot we do know. We're just not giving ourselves the opportunity to allow ourselves to know.
So how did you do that?
I don't know.
That's really good.
It sounds like something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost see like the isms of like, you know, life's about the choices we make and the choices we don't make. But for every choice we don't make, there's a choice out there waiting to be made. But look, I can put toast in a blender and allow it to butter itself, but then I'm missing out on the chance to go through the action of buttering bread.
I'm on board. Yeah. I think I get it.
I mean, wait, so then he said, how was doing his podcast?
It was great. We just like, you know, we just, he
I
was
watch
kind
that.
Of like mind blown at how
does he get the
frank
jokes?
I can
is he
be.
Fun? Like, is he?
You know, yeah. Like he's not like ready for him.
Totally. I think that's what I've heard from people that worked on his show. They're like,
he's
I don't
a serious
know
person.
How much he knows. I think Kirk Fox is like best friends with him and is
yeah.
like, he's like, I'll loop you guys together if you want, you know? And I was like,
that's a great Kirk Fox.
I've never
Fox.
Tried to do a Kirk Fox intro
that was
right
incredible.
Now, by the way. Is that all right?
You were him. Yeah. That's one of your best ones ever.
I mean, I'll ask him if he's doing something.
That's so good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But he said he would like loop us, but I'm like afraid that he. I also
won't
am getting
get it.
People saying like, you're going to get a cease and desist, which could happen.
Yeah.
But
I think we'll have Kirk
yeah.
loop you
it
in.
And also, I told Kirk, I was like, does he know that it's not malicious? It's just a full on. Caricature parody.
If he
it's
watched
like,
it, but yeah. if he doesn't, it could be trouble.
Yeah.
You know, the one guys that came on his show and like dressed up as him, that
yeah.
did not go over well. So
no.
he might be, you know, a little
that guy had
PTSD
had
from
an agenda
that.
And a motive.
Yes,
though.
Yes.
All right. What sound or noise do you love?
Sound of noise do I love? Sorry. I should have like known that you do this
nope.
at the end.
This is perfect.
Sound of noise
do sorry. Sound or noise.
I listen to ASMR
yeah.
To go to sleep at night. So I really like-
People doing what? Like opening Sun Chips bags?
The thing I like, no, there's all different types, but the thing I like is women flipping through a magazine that the pages are kind of like they've been wet before. So they're kind of crinkly and slowly like just talking mundanely about like the things in the magazine they see. Just like, oh, look at this is on sale. It used to be $29.99. It's now on sale for $19.99. That looks nice. Free shipping. That's beautiful. Look at the red there. Like just
this
women.
Is how you go to bed?
Yeah, a lot of times. It's just these, wow. It's called soft-spoken ASMR because it's not whispering. Whispering sounds creepy and like just yeah. like there's something wrong. It's
soft-spoken
whispering.
Feels good.
Soft-spoken just feels like it's like you're just sitting next to your grandmother as she flips through a catalog, which is maybe a memory of childhood that brought me a lot of comfort or something. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Soft-spoken ASMR.
Has
it
ever
out.
Been funny? Like you're listening too deep. It's like, oh, look at that couch. It brings back some memories. I wonder what Steve's doing right now. I should hit him up on Facebook.
These people I've learned.
Oh, he doesn't have a Facebook. That's right, because he moved
yes.
out of the country.
They ramble
kid,
and
though.
Ramble, and you start to learn about their lives.
Yeah.
They don't know that they're revealing so much about their lives. So I've found some of them online. Like they all do. They're just their hands, so they're all anonymous, but they don't realize how much they're giving you, and I've been able to like.
Is it
find
like stream
them.
Of consciousness, or do they have a script?
No, stream of consciousness. A lot. Some of them do. I don't like scripted ones. I want ones where they're really just. It's called rambling. They're soft-spoken ASMR ramble.
You could do this.
I love it. I did it once as a parody where I did go through and I kind of like was making fun
Funny.
Of things in a magazine, but I really love ASMR.
Wow,
yeah,
amazing! All right, what sound or noise do you hate?
Gosh. Whose voice? There's someone's voice that I really don't like, and I'm trying not to be mean
no,
about it.
No, hey, not everyone was gifted a sweet set of pipes.
I mean, because I have been through vocal trauma and had to have vocal cord
yeah.
surgery, RFK Jr.'s voice really is too upsetting to listen to because
yeah.
it just sounds painful,
yeah.
and it stresses me out.
Yeah.
So I think that's the worst sound
Bingo.
I can imagine.
Great answer.
And I'm sorry for his struggles in that way.
That's
I'm sure
fine.
It's related to the vaccine.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Musician.
What
vocalist?
What profession would you not like to do?
Mother. Stay at home mom.
Yeah.
Stay at home mom. It's more like a command.
Fuck. Wouldn't like to do that. So
no,
if you're
going
to do it, the mom thing, you're going to be
and if
and
there
about.
Are moms listening out there that are like, fuck her. I'm not saying that because I'm like, it's so boring and what a dumb life. I'm saying I couldn't do
yeah.
it because it's hard.
I got that.
Yeah.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You're in. Who doesn't want to hear that?
Great right? answer. Nikki Glaser. Did you have fun?
I had so much fun.
You fucking
I love
roll.
You, Adam.
I love you too, Nikki. You're a great hang.
I can't wait to work together.
Yeah.
On your project after you get that phone call.
Man, there's a laundry list of things that I want to like the way Dave and the band will like lock themselves in a cabin somewhere and write an album.
Yes.
I want to do that for a handful of projects.
You gotta do this.
Yeah, I know.
What's stopping you?
I don't know. Just
money?
No, because VO is my bread and butter, and so I could
yes.
do that anywhere. But I feel like.
And Barbie, you were in Barbie.
For a second.
That
yeah.
was so, no, yeah,
yeah
right.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers
yeah,
you,
yeah.
dude. I've
I
told
guess.
Everyone, I go,
yeah.
you know the cop in the scene?
You're
and they're like,
so
of course
sweet.
We
oh
know
my
that guy.
God.
So cool.
Meeting Gosling was the coolest part of that. And Margot Robbie. They were
I mean,
both, yeah.
Then they were really nice.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, yeah, just like so normal. Although he's very intense, but like
mm-hmm.
intense in the way of like.
So he was taking it very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Because my friend was like, I didn't like how it seemed to be a little tongue in cheek.
No,
I mean,
no,
he was
no.
kind of like, ugh,
oh,
I guess
he,
I'm kind
he
of
was
like,
all business.
No, I feel like he took it.
I jokingly said at one point when we took a picture, I was like, I'm going to put this on my, use it for the cover of my comedy special. He goes,
Oh, right.
Oh, sorry, joking. We don't know our sensibilities. Definitely not doing that. And he goes, you can't do that. Please don't do that.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
Yeah, fuck.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
meet and greet over. You start rubbing his shoulders.
Is this better?
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it was cool. But I don't know. The fear of like FOMO from stand-up and others, you know?
Yeah, but it
but
would only be, but you would be working the whole time.
Yeah. But I'm saying to like be gone for like a month and not do shows, I'd feel a little.
Yeah, that's your fight. You could take a month off. You'll
yeah,
be fine.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken a month off from stand-up?
No.
Yeah, you can do it. I've done it. And it's
wow.
very scary because I've had to go shoot some things
yeah.
in places where stand-up wasn't happening. It'll come back. It's like working out. It's the perfect analogy to working out. You're going to be a little out of shape, but your body remembers and you can get back in shape so much faster. You'll be fine. Take a month off. Do this.
And I've always said if you take a month off, you're actually taking a month on.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. I love you.
Hi, guys. I'm Albie Manzo, and I host an advice podcast called Dear Albie with my brother, Chris.
Hey, guys. It's Chris Manzo, and he's right.
Okay. Thanks for showing up.
I think we should redo that.
Yep. Hi, I'm Albie Manzo, and I host the advice show, F*** You.
Check us out on Dear Albie. Take off your clothes.
No. I knew having you on the ad was going to be a bad idea.
Dear Albie.
Yes. That's how the show works. Anyway, listen to Dear Albie on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.